I'll give you just a moment to find Luke chapter 2. Because I want to remind you of something that you already know. It's not new, but it is important to have a firm grip on it at this time of year, especially at this time of year, to have a firm grip. You know, sometimes if you're watching a baseball game, you might see the batter step out of the batter's box for a second and re-grip the bat to make sure he's got the proper grip before he swings at the ball. Same kind of thing if you are a golfer. Occasionally you have to step away from the ball, check your grip, and then address the ball again before you hit it. You see tennis players doing it all the time, getting a better grip on their racket before they serve or whatever. Shoot, the way they were playing today, I wouldn't be surprised if Stephen and Larry had to get a good grip on that guitar once in a while. And Ryan on the drumsticks over there. Amen. Aren't you blessed by our worship team? Yeah, they're such an amazing group of musicians and an amazing spirit that they sing and play with. And we do appreciate you guys and ladies. So we want to make sure that we've got a good grip on something today. Even though it's not new, it is important. This is the second time we've sung Jesus at the center of it all in recent weeks, and I've mentioned it in a few sermons. And you would expect your pastor to stand up around Christmas time and say that you should keep Jesus at the center of your Christmas. Amen? I mean, isn't that normal expectation for people of God to keep Jesus at the center of your Christmas? But I also want you to remember not only that He deserves to be at the center of your Christmas, but why? Why that is so important? When you look at the Word of God and the Gospels especially, you see that Jesus ministered to many different types of needs while He was on the earth. He ministered to physical needs. He ministered to mental needs. He ministered to emotional and spiritual needs, and He still does all of that today. The ministry that He had then is just as real today. But the Bible is very clear that there is one main purpose for the first coming of Jesus. That's what Christmas is, right? The first coming of Jesus. The Bible is very clear that when He came the first time, He came to save people from their sins. That's not the only thing He did while He was here. And it's not the only thing He does today. But the Bible is clear that Jesus came to save people from their sins. Just a couple of verses from the traditional Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The angel said to them, to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord." What has been born? Who has been born? A Savior. Now I want you to think about the other types of ministry that Jesus performed while He was on the earth. He went around and He healed a lot of people, right? But you know, even in that day, and much more so now, there is medical treatment available for many of the sicknesses and diseases that people might come down with, the injuries that need treatment. So yes, Jesus is the great physician, and His healing is superior to anything we'd ever find in the medical community, but there is help in a different direction, right? And He went around and He taught people. A lot of the people in Jesus' day, they were sincere religious people, but they had a misunderstanding of the Word of God. And so a lot of His ministry involved teaching and re-explaining the truth of the Old Testament to help people who appreciated the Old Testament but had a misunderstanding of it. But you know what? There are teachers available today too, just like there were then. We don't always get it right, and nobody is the master teacher the way Jesus is, but there are other avenues for satisfying our need to understand the Word of God. We want Jesus to be our teacher, yes, at all times. Jesus went around meeting needs in so many different ways. People who were hurting emotionally, He showed the love of Christ, and He helped soothe broken hearts and things like that. But you know, we can encourage one another. I'm not saying that our ministry to each other is equal to the ministry of Jesus in that regard. We need Him to do that for us. I'm just saying, if your heart is broken, you can receive love and encouragement and help from other people. But hear me when I say to you that nobody else can save you from your sins. No matter how much they love you, no matter how far they are willing to go for you, no matter what sacrifices they may be willing to make, there is only one person who has ever walked the face of this earth who can be your Savior, and His name is Jesus. And that's why it is important for us to understand that as vast and as great as the totality of the ministry of Jesus was and is, His primary reason for coming to the earth was to be a Savior. A Savior has been born to you this day. He is Christ the Lord. God ministers to us in all of our needs, but we were created to be with Him. Say that with me. We were created to be with Him. And there is one thing, the one thing that keeps us separated from Him is our sin. And that's why, more than anything else, we need a Savior. That's why, more than anything else, we must keep Jesus at the center of it all. Matthew chapter 1. Another angelic announcement. We just read the announcement of the angel to the shepherds. This is the message of the angel to Joseph. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, we read from the angel to Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins." Give Him the name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. You know, we love the name of Jesus. We sing it here. We speak it here. We proclaim it here. We embrace the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's glory in the name of Jesus. All the things about the name of Jesus. Do you know what the name of Jesus means? It's not a mystery. Your Bible may have the same footnote that mine has with the verse that says, "Give Him the name Jesus because He will save His people from their sins." The footnote in my Bible says, "Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua." Did you know this? Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. Yahweh, Yeshua, is my Savior. Give Him the name Jesus because He will save His people from their sins. In the time that the angel spoke these words to Joseph, the Jewish people were more concerned about their sins than you are about yours. For hundreds of years, faithful Jews had made animal sacrifices at the temple on a regular basis. And every time someone brought an animal sacrifice, listen to me, Every time somebody brought an animal sacrifice to the temple, what happened? Blood was shed. Oh, it was terrible. It was just as terrible as it sounds. And every time the blood was shed of a sacrificial animal, the people were reminded that sin is a deadly foe. Sin will kill you. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. It is a deadly foe. And so for hundreds of years, the ritualistic sacrifices that God commanded the people in the law of Moses was to remind them of the seriousness of sin. And the generation in which Jesus was born was a generation that understood the seriousness of sin. We live in a generation that believes there is no such thing as sin. We live in a generation that believes that there is no sin, only lifestyle choices. That anything is fine as long as it doesn't infringe upon the rights of others. You know, that sounds good. And a lot of times that kind of thinking infects the church. Today in this room, you, all across the room, me included, we are influenced by the thinking of our generation that there's really no sin. As long as nobody gets hurt, whatever you like is okay. But if that were true, it would not have been necessary for God to become a man, to leave the glory of heaven. As Philippians chapter 2 describes it, to humble himself, to set his glory aside, and to take upon himself the form of a man, to be humbled, even to the point of death, death on a cross. If it was true that there's no such thing as sin, then everything that we know from the Bible, everything that we sing in our songs about the cross and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, all of that would be a ridiculous waste. Why would he die if there was no such thing as sin? Listen to me, brothers and sisters. There is such a thing as sin. And it's real, and it's just as deadly as it was when the Jewish people were bringing animal sacrifices every single week, every single festival, every single year when the lamb would die and the priest would offer it up on the altar. You know, we don't have to do that. Why? Because Jesus was slain on our behalf. But don't think that just because Jesus put an end to those sacrifices that we can forget about the deadliness of sin. Oh, it's serious. Yeah. Yeah, we need a Savior, all right. We need a Savior more than anything else in this life. And that's why Jesus must be the center of our life, of our Christmas. John chapter 3, verse 17. Just two or three more verses to wrap this up. John 3:17 says, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He came to be a Savior. That's why God sent His Son into the world. That's why Jesus became a baby. That's why we sing, Mary, did you know? That's why we celebrate, is because God sent His Son into the world to save the world through Him. And that's why Jesus must be at the center. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Paul writes to Timothy, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world. That's Christmas, right? Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now listen, this is the Apostle Paul, years into his walk with Christ. Not the Saul who persecuted Christians. He was a changed man. And yet when he writes, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, he uses the present tense of the verb, not the past tense. He didn't say, I was the chief of sinners and Jesus saved me out of that. He says, I am the chief of sinners. I still need a Savior today. Listen, perhaps the greatest Christian to ever walk this earth, the greatest follower of Jesus perhaps that ever lived, says, I am the chief of sinners. Where does that leave me? Where does that leave you? We need a Savior. And that's why Jesus came. And that's why He must be the center of your Christmas. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14. This is the Apostle John writing, the one who was so close to Jesus during his ministry. And in 1 John 4:14, he writes, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent His Son. He sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. That's why there's a Christmas. That's why there was a baby born to a virgin. That's why we're here worshiping today, celebrating. Did we need a healer? Yeah. We need a teacher, a guide, a helper? Yeah, we need all that. But that's not why we worship Him. That's not why we gather on Sundays, and that's not why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate because we need a Savior. And He is the Savior we need. Hallelujah. Anybody with me? So it's a simple message today. Jesus at the center. Not on the periphery of your life. Not just a part of your life. Not just someone you turn to in times of crisis or despair. But Jesus at the center of your life. And I say to everyone in the room, if you are not saved, if you're not truly trusting and following Jesus with your life, you need to be saved today. You need to realize that the reason we're here, the reason we're celebrating Christmas, is because there is a Savior that you need and that I need. If you have been saved, but you've not been water baptized since you gave your life to Jesus Christ, listen to me. The Bible, that's all over the Bible. That's all over the New Testament. They believed and were baptized, believed and were baptized, believed and were baptized. And so if you are a believer, if you are a follower who's not been water baptized, you need to get that right. You need to make that right with Jesus and make Him the center of your life, not just somebody who's a part of your life, but the very center of your life. If you are saved and following and you've been water baptized and you're walking with Jesus, but you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus, guess what? That's in the Bible too. It's all over the book of Acts, and the fullness of the Spirit is in the letters of Paul, and it's in the teaching of Jesus. This is not some strange doctrine. This is the gospel. Jesus died on the cross to deliver you from the penalty of sin over your life. And He poured out His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to give you power over sin in your life today. See, having a Savior is not just about where do I go when I die? Am I going to make it into heaven when I die? Oh, listen, if that's all Savior means to you, I question whether He is your Savior. Because Savior is not just about some future date that is about an eternity in heaven. Savior is about today's date. Savior is not just about December 25th. Savior is about December 11th. And it's about the 10th. And it's about the 9th. And it's about the 12th. Savior is, what is Jesus to you right now, right here, today? Is He your fullness? Is He your rescue? Is He your constant companion? Is He your power to resist sin, to push away from temptation, to say no to the devil, not in your own determination or strength, but in the supernatural power of the living God? Oh, He's got to be the center. That's a great song. It's a great song we sing, but it's got to be more than a song, y'all. It's got to be real in you. It's got to be real in me. We've got to be telling people why Jesus came. You know, it's great to wear the t-shirt. The sweatshirt says, "Keep Christ in Christmas." I'm all for that. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to vote for keeping Christ in Christmas. But we got to do more than just keep Christ in the word Christmas. We got to be telling people why there's a Christmas. We got to be telling people that He is a Savior and they need Him to be their Savior. We got to keep Jesus at the center. Lord God, it's not complex, it's not complicated. It's very straightforward that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I'm the worst of the worst of the worst. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the best of the best of the best, and you are my Savior. My Redeemer. You are my fullness, my joy, my strength, my light, my guide, my healer. But more than all of that, you are my Savior, and I praise you. I thank you. And I lift up people across this room, perhaps some that you're not their Savior yet. God, I'm not talking about people who prayed a prayer at some point in the past. I'm not talking about a decision that was recorded on a decision card or whatever. God, I'm talking about somebody for whom they know that they know that they know that Jesus is in their life because they've surrendered, they've turned their life over to Him. But if they don't know that they might find you as Savior today, that they would come, that they'd step out from where they are in just a moment and come to the altar and say, "I need a Savior. I need Jesus to do for me what He came to do for me, to be my Savior today." God, I pray that people would rise up with courage and faith and say, "I may be embarrassed, I may be ashamed, but I'm going to take a step for Jesus." He stepped all the way from heaven's throne down to a manger stall and then to a cross for me. I'm going to take a step of faith for Him today. I'm going to trust Him with my life. I'm going to surrender everything to Him. I'm going to obey Him in baptism. I'm going to seek Him for the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm going to proclaim Him with every breath to every person that I can, that He is the center of my life, just the way I sing it.